Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Gary Armley inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. Well, Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here. The atmosphere in here is so beautiful. The presence of the Lord is so strong. Can't you just bask in that all day? It's beautiful. Well, I'm going to talk to you a little bit, and there's no clock up there. It's disappeared. I'm going to talk to you a little bit this morning about a principle of heaven that really needs to come alive in the body of Christ in this hour. And that's actually two of them, honor and humility. And all of us know, when we look around right now, at least in North America, that's very lacking. And because we know the Lord and love the Lord, it first has to come forth in us. So Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would just minister this word, that which I can share this morning, Father. And Father, I pray that it would witness to people as it did to me when you ministered it to me. Have your way in here, Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So just as a very quick refresher, I think we all by now know what the kingdom of heaven is. But Matthew 4:17 states, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus came to earth, the kingdom of heaven came with him. And it remained after he ascended to heaven. And when you and I are born again, we get transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, correct? From dark to light, and we enter the kingdom of heaven. Even though we haven't died and gone to heaven, the kingdom of heaven is here on earth. And we walk in it as believers. And how much we walk in it as believers really influences the world around us. And the beautiful part of when we're born again and accept Jesus as our Savior is that it says in Ephesians 2:4-7, he raised us up with Christ and exalted the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are co-seated as one with Christ. So you and I live here, but our spirit man, and if we're born again, our spirit man's very alive. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places, in him. So we're very powerful people, really, when you think about it. Not only have we been baptized in the Holy Spirit and been given all authority, we actually are seated already in a position of authority in Christ. Okay, got it? Because this is going to be very important as we look at this. A kingdom is ruled by a monarch. So King Charles rules his kingdom, right? And Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit rule the kingdom of heaven. It's his kingdom. And in a kingdom, it's not a democracy. You don't just do what you want to do, and you don't just vote on things, right? Oh, Jesus, I don't agree with you. Sorry. You know, I just don't like that rule, so I'm going to adjust it a little. Like, that doesn't work in the kingdom. That doesn't work with the king. We surrender to the king and give our lives to him, and we are no longer our own, right? At least that's what's supposed to happen. And when Jesus comes in to our lives, his presence comes into our lives. And as we spend time with him and we read the word in the morning and we pray, his presence increases in our lives. And that's available for all of us, right? All of us can have as much of him as we want by spending time with him. It says about Peter as he walked along and they brought the people in from the highways and the byways, that they laid them on the side of the road. And it says Peter's shadow healed him. But the truth of that is what overshadowed Peter, the presence of the Lord that was so strong on him, that anointing, that presence healed the people as he walked along. Handkerchiefs that came off of Paul when they were sent to people that were ill healed the people. So you and I have all that capacity in us. We have to pursue it. And our lives are often busy that we don't. So what overshadows you and I? It really is what we spend our time on. It really has everything to do with that. If all of our time is spent on the internet, then that's what's going to overshadow us. And if you spend time with the Lord, then that's what overshadows us. The effect of heaven and earth is seen in my character, in your character. If I spend time with the Lord, my character begins to change. As I spend time in the Word and I see things that are not the way they should be, and I surrender to that, my character begins to change. And I start to become more like him. And all of us can look back over our lives, at least I can, and see how much I've changed over the years that I've walked with him. And I'm so grateful. And I'm sure you are too. Thank you, Lord, that the kingdom begins to change our lives. Bill Johnson from Bethel, and you hear us refer to him once in a while. Many, many years ago, we had a school of interns here and had the privilege of actually going there a few times and observing what things were really like there. And very, very impacted by that ministry. But in one of his books, he talks about being in the Netherlands in the earlier years of his ministry. And it was wintertime and it was cold, and he said it wasn't much fun sightseeing. So his host said, I'm going to take you to the greenhouses where they grow the tulips. And 85% of the tulips in the world come from Holland. Yay, that's where I was born. Beautiful, beautiful tulips. And he says they went into this greenhouse, and he says it's miserable outside, cold, damp, raining, but inside this beautiful, colorful place, warm like summer, is a bride with all her bridesmaids and whole wedding party, and they're taking pictures. And he got thinking about all of this, and he said, what would happen if the kingdom of heaven overshadowed a region and the people walked in what the Lord was showing them? Would it not be like a greenhouse effect where everything begins to change? And the people who don't yet know the Lord get swept into this because God's people are walking in a fashion that they should. Out of that was birth, the move that they have. He began to ponder that. So we can change an atmosphere over a city. When the church discovers and lives in heaven's culture while here on earth, we create an atmosphere that's very similar to that greenhouse. Amazing. God's put everything in place for you and I. So, yesterday I had the privilege of hearing Pastor Jeff for a little while. He was in the area, and he kept saying over and over, what we do in this next season is going to be crucial. He says, we failed during COVID as the church. We bickered and fought with one another over things that had nothing to do with the kingdom. And he said, if we're not careful, we'll do it again. And he says, there's a harvest out there ready to be coming in. And so he just kept saying, we need to do everything through the screen of honor in this hour. And I thought, my teaching was already ready. Just felt like, oh gosh, Lord, I did hear you. That always feels good. So humility is entire dependence on the Lord, right? We're supposed to be entirely dependent on him. And I have to tell you truthfully, I'm not there yet. That's where I want to head, but I'm still walking it out. It says in Proverbs 22:4, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. That's pretty good. Its wages are riches and honor and life. In the Passion, it says, laying your life down in tender surrender before the Lord will bring life, prosperity, and honor as your reward. Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So surrendering to the Lord and walking it out his way will bring honor our way. Humility gives honor and it attracts honor. Years ago, we had a speaker in our midst who actually taught here on honor, and Dr. Mike Brown, and he stated, what we honor comes towards us, and what we dishonor moves away from us. And that's always stuck with me. What we honor moves towards us, but what we dishonor moves away from us. So let me give you a definition of honor. It's a rare treasure, and it's very seldom seen in society today. We see a lot of dishonor, a lot of disrespect for government officials, for those in authority, for everyday people who work at a till in a store, who stock shelves, who you know, in the summertime, clean our sidewalks, water the flowers. Dishonor is everywhere. So much more is it necessary for you and I to honor. And I want to give you a little different perspective of honor than probably we understand. I'm going to skip over some stuff just for time, so just bear with me for a minute. So, in God's kingdom, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, right? And we are very much knit together. It says in Ephesians 1:22-23, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So we're a body. Right? The believers all over the world are a body. And we have one head, and that's Jesus Christ. And we are very much interlinked together. Now, I don't know if the pictures I sent Pastor Rod are available back there. I don't know if they are. Ah, okay. See those trees? See the little man there? Those are the redwood trees that are grown in California. Now, they're very interesting trees because you would think they would have an incredible root system, wouldn't you? That would go down as deep as the tree is. But I think there's a second picture there. That's the trunk of one that's fallen down, the root system. It's very shallow, extremely shallow. Do we have the third picture? So see what it does? It links together. So one tree is linked into the next, and they have an incredible root system, but it spreads this way. And they're all linked together, and so they hold each other up. I thought, what a novel idea. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to do, right? Because we're all linked together. When one hurts, it hurts. Like right now, this body is hurting because of Megan and Ryan, because they're hurting. So therefore, we're linked together, and God made it that way. Now, what's that all got to do with honor? You'll see. We see honor as, well, that's what you give to a high official. Or, of course, the pastor's honored. You got to honor the pastor, right? And then there's a level of respect there. But we have to honor the ushers, the people that clean the bathroom, the people that do the worship team, all of you the same way. The only difference with us as fivefold ministry is that we carry a gift that God's placed on our lives, and that gift is to equip the body of Christ. But we're all the same. And so we all deserve honor one from another. So I want to set that right out there, okay? It's not like the world at all. And I want to just prove that a little bit and how Jesus treated people. So honor means to revere or to fix a valuation. As the body, all are equal in value, but different in function. God made us to be in need of one another, and that by design, just like those redwood trees. The Webster Dictionary actually defines honor as to regard or treat someone with admiration or respect. In John 8, 3 to 11, we have the account of the woman caught in adultery. And she's brought before Jesus. She's full of shame, afraid of the painful death she's about to experience. Her accusers, who are religious leaders, stood with confidence because the law was on their side, and they had the right to kill her. They held stones that would take her life. But Jesus began to write in the sand. No one knows what he wrote. All we know is that the atmosphere created by the writing of Jesus, the giver of grace, completely disarmed her accusers. They left one by one, dropping their stones as the grace of God drove away the judgment that they were walking in. The atmosphere of honor is filled with grace. Pastor Jeff yesterday kept saying, we got to see everything through the screen of honor in this hour. And I thought, yes, we do. Because if we start looking at things through the screen of dishonor again, during this season that we're in, we are not going to be bringing in the harvest. And when they come in, we gotta love them, honor them, so that they can get healed. It's crucial. It's crucial. So the love this woman experienced without judgment turned her whole life around. Forever, she walked away, no longer in shame. Grace is the atmosphere created by love. And that atmosphere drove her accusers away, but caused her to become totally whole. It's an amazing story when you see what Jesus is doing there. So there's another story I want to just bring before you. I've got three stories. Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, 13 to 17. We have Levi, called Matthew, a tax collector. He had sold out to the Romans. He was very rich. He profited greatly by what he did. And some believe that he studied to be a rabbi, so he really sold out. And he was hated by the Jews and seen as a traitor. Yet one day Jesus walks by and says to him, come follow me, a tax collector. Come follow me. And I think if you were to look at the motley crew he had collected at that point, who would become his disciples, they're all thinking, oh, now a tax collector too? I'm sure. And The Chosen kind of depicts it well. They didn't have a lot of grace for Levi for quite a while. And he had his little book out and he's recording everything. Thank God he recorded everything. Come follow me. Jesus looked deeper into Levi or Matthew than society was doing. It's believed that Levi may have been the first apostle, to write the first gospel in Aramaic. In his writings, Matthew presents a Jewish king and the king of a heavenly kingdom. The phrase kingdom realm is used 40 times, and he describes Jesus as king 14 times. This is the tax collector. The Gospel of Matthew reveals to us all how we should act and live in God's kingdom here on earth. What if Jesus had judged Levi in the natural and just walked past him? Even though Levi was not yet what he should be, Jesus embraced him, and Levi became Matthew, one of the disciples, one of the apostles. Amazing. So how we see people in front of us matters. How we honor them matters. Another short little aside, years ago, while we were still in our Woodsley facility, we had a man join us by the name of, came to minister to us, by the name of Bob Shattles. Few of us will remember Bob Shattles. Amazing Baptist pastor from Atlanta, Georgia, who was a Bapticostal, he called himself. Holy Spirit filled, loved the Lord. And God gave him an unusual manifestation in the sense that gold dust would fall all over him when he was to witness to unbelievers. Well, his church was filled with people that had been pulled out of the gutter. Drug addicts, homeless people, kind of like downtown. They all ended up coming into his church. And it was amazing because among those, what we would call derelicts, you know, street people, were very, very well-to-do sons and daughters of very rich people who had fallen deeply into sin and pain. And they all came into his church and they were restored. And he grew like amazingly because they were honored and loved, embraced. It was amazing when, actually he's got a couple of books out and it tells the story of what happened. It's an amazing story. And he had so many people he didn't know how to pastor them all anymore. So he put a very seasoned person on the end of each pew. They had pews. And all the people that sat in that row had to sit in that row from there on in, and the guy on the end was the pastor, responsible for all those people in his row. And that's how he did it. He trained them up. And so he was able to have many people saved, restored, because he honored. I mean, the man oozed honor. And we want to be the same way, amen? Now, okay. So, Bill Johnson, again from Bethel, Reading. They have a culture of honor there. When you walk in there, you know it. Their staff honors each other. People honor each other. Greeters honor each other. It's just thick. Because over the years, as the healings have started coming, one after another, honor just is the atmosphere in which those healings happen. And he says, this culture is never built around what I need. It is built around what I can give. If I don't learn to give it to those who deserve it the least, I will continue to live in an environment without honor. In his book, The Culture of Honor, by Danny Silk, he talks about a couple of students in the second year of ministry. They have a school of the supernatural there. And young people come, and old people come from all over the world to be in that school. And it's an amazing place to go. And people are introduced to the culture of honor. So in his book, The Culture of Honor, he describes a situation that happens, which I want to share with you because I think it so well depicts what the culture of honor really looks like. Danny states, sustaining a lifestyle where signs and wonders follow us is totally dependent on living out our true identities as sons and daughters of God. Bethel's goal is to teach believers to walk in the fullness of who they really are. So here is how this works. The whole point of this story is to reveal what it looks like, okay? And this is how they do it. This happened in the school of ministry. And they have two young people who go home over the summer holidays. They're second-year students in their school of ministry, school of the supernatural. But these two people, guy and a girl, had sex over the summer, which they teach is not acceptable before marriage. And they found out this was something that really could destroy their lives. And I think we all can look at examples and know it can. Not the baby, just getting married if, you know, you're not in love because you're forced to, or having an abortion because you found yourself pregnant, or having a baby that only the mom raises. And I mean, the scenarios go on and on, right? So they come back to school, second year, and she's pregnant. The leadership recognizes the damage this would do to the school. The old way of doing things would have been to ask them to leave. But instead, both the young man and the girl were brought through counseling and inner healing, and they got to the root of the problem. And when you read the account, it's quite amazing how they actually go about it. And it's just too long to share the whole story because she's sitting there pregnant and Danny still keeps looking at them and saying, so what's your problem? And the young guy says, what do you mean what's our problem? She's pregnant. So over and over, so what's your problem? Finally, he got tired, the young man, of skirting around the issue, and they were able to start digging at what the problem really was. So the young girl and the guy went through a lot of counseling and inner healing, and they got to the root of the problem. What was really going on deep inside of them was brought to the surface. And you have to understand, in a culture of honor and a culture of freedom, what's really deep inside of you starts to come to the surface because it needs to get healed. And we all need healing. We all have issues that God wants to heal. But if it's the old way of doing things, oh, you did something bad, you're out of here. Right? Pastor Jay and I and the students actually got to sit. This is another whole story, but we got, if you remember, we got to sit in a very small room, really, with Danny Silk there and a husband and wife, pastor and his wife, and they shared their story about how they brought one of the students into their home and the pastor had sex with the student in their home. And that got found out and how they handled it. They didn't send him to Pastor Siberia. They got him healed and they sat in front of us and told the story and told us the story how the young girl is now being brought through healing, and they're all still there. Nobody left. They're getting healed, and that's the way it should be. Instead of people leaving in shame and fear and humiliation and hiding, all wrong. Honor works very differently. So what was really going on deep inside of both of them was brought to the surface. They brought them through a process that respected the need for trust and honor that brought an entirely different outcome because it allowed them to be free from control, shame, punishment, and fear. They were asked to look at who had been affected by what had happened. They likened it to spilling a can of paint, which splattered all over the room. How do you get that paint back in the can? Their parents, their siblings, the leaders in the school of ministry, the leaders in the church back home who had given money to let them go to the school. As this couple went to all who loved them, they gave them a week. You need to get in contact with everyone that you've actually hurt. You need to get it straightened out. You need to tell them what has happened. And grace was extended to them and love was extended to them. Shame is removed through love. They went to their second year class because now they have to go in front of all the other students because they spilled paint all over the place. Second year class and shared their story with the class. They repented before the class in great humility. Remember? Humility before honor. The young man stated, "I have discovered a problem in my life I didn't know I had. It has been causing a lot of problems for me. I'm now working on it." When the leader asked someone to pray for them, the whole class came up, all 100 of them. It's amazing. And then they said, well, it's going to affect the first-year students too. So 100 first-year students came in. So now there's 200 students in the room, all praying for this young couple. Honor is incredible. Now, the students prayed and prophesied over them and accepted the unborn child into their midst. Over 200 students praying. They broke the curse of shame and illegitimacy over this baby, severing the enemy's legal right to access and destroy this child through shame. Okay, now remember that. The students prayed this. A few months later, the young couple got married. When the baby was born, it was critically ill. The school and staff prayed extensively, as we were praying for Megan this morning. They remembered that shame had been broken over this child. The enemy had no right to this child. They remembered the honor and protection they had given to this young family. Death and destruction had no jurisdiction over this child's life. This little one miraculously recovered as the declarations were repeated into the heavens. It was a miraculous recovery. The doctors called her the Lazarus baby. Look what honor can do. Totally different than you did that, shame on you. Bethel sees many miracles because they have established a culture of honor and it transfers strengths into the lives of others. At the core of this culture is freedom. People are given choices, and it reveals the level of freedom they are prepared to handle. There are boundaries that are set. They do have boundaries because we got to hear they have no boundaries. Yes, they do. But those boundaries and the freedom they walk in brings what is really inside the person to the surface for healing and transformation. All of us need to understand the depth of what Jesus did to set us free. We're all important. He died for every one of us. We all have issues he's trying to heal. And the safest place for that is in a place where we honor the Lord and we honor one another. People are restored in that kind of atmosphere. And I really believe we're in testing ground right now with how we respond to what is going on around us, what is going on in the atmosphere, what is going on with the government, how we feel about it. I think we really need to be very careful because COVID ripped the church apart. And this could, again, what's going on in the world. But we need to say, Lord, we honor them, may not like what they're doing, but we honor them. You put them in place. We need to honor one another in our different opinions. God has given us the freedom to have opinions. And we need to honor, most of all, him in our midst as we love one another deeply. And as we bring honor into our midst and we take that honor out into Essex and wherever we live, and we honor people and are nice to people that are not being nice, we bring that honor with us. And that overshadows us. That atmosphere of heaven will come over the region. And we're going to see many people come to know the Lord. And if they come in and they're broken, we're going to know how to handle it. Amen? Amen. So, Father, I just thank you that, Lord, you saw fit to honor us by making us in your image and likeness. And, Father, when Adam and Eve fell and everything was lost, you sent Jesus to pay the full price for us so that we could be part of your body again. You honored us, Lord, by saving us. Now, Father, let that honor and that love and that grace pour through us as you bring hurting people into our midst. And as we minister to one another, at times, Lord, we may not behave properly. Father, let that grace just pour out of us into others. And Lord, we just thank you that what we need is available. Holy Spirit, we can't even do this without you. But Holy Spirit, with you, we can do all things. And Lord, we just thank you that you're here with us and in us. Cause us to be a people of honor. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.